You know, I like to say that psychedelics kind of shatter your reality so you can rebuild with intention.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Restora the Podcast. It's your host Yaz here, and today we have a very special episode. So I want to lay the groundwork. I want to lay the foundation. I want to get, you know, all the things off of my chest about this episode. First and foremost, trigger warning, I guess. I don't know. We're going to be talking about drugs today, kids. We're going to be talking about drugs. So if that makes you uncomfortable or it's something that you don't align with, it's not your values, that's cool. Maybe you want to skip it, or maybe you want to expose yourself to another perspective and just see what lands for you and what doesn't land. Period. Second thing that I want to get off my chest, get out there, get it into the universe, the metaverse, wherever you're listening to this, is that me and Jade met back in college, but Jade invited me to be a vendor selling some Restora products, baby, at one of the big psych open mics. I think it was late in 2021, late in the year, maybe it was early 2022, somewhere in there. And when I tell you, I have never been in such a welcoming, healing, restorative, regenerative place. Like, I cannot think of a place that I felt so safe in a very long time. And that's really important, especially in these days and ages where we're like, what is even going on in the world? So if you are in the Twin Cities area and you're interested in like any of the shit that I talk about on my podcast, or you're interested in things like plant-based healing, alternative healing, just building community in general, if you're a person of color, if you're a queer person, this is a space for you, and it is just, it's an incredible place with incredible people. So without blowing up Jade's head too much, I'm going to go ahead and let her introduce herself.
Awesome. Thanks, Yasmin. I really appreciate you having me on. So my name is Jade, newly married, and new last name, Mycelia.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. So if I had to label myself, it would probably be a community organizer, space holder for respectful, conscious conversation and growth. Me and my partner, Stieg, are co-creators of Big Psych, which is a psychedelic activist and education organization that supports the liberation of plant medicine. So I like to say that Big Psych is kind of like my life learning style, which is experiential. I get to learn a lot about people and relationships and community building, regulation, balance, empathy, and spiritual well-being. So I'm really grateful to be in this space and do what I do. It's really fun to get to exercise a wide range of skills that I feel really passionate about. So I just feel really fortunate.
Absolutely. I love that. So I met Jade actually through Big Psych and going to some of their open mic events. And I just have to say that the space is so healing, so welcoming and inclusive. So thank you for holding those spaces, because I don't think that there's enough of them.
Thank you. I really appreciate that feedback.
Absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, mushrooms. Let's talk about plant medicine in general. But I'm really curious about psilocybin and the effects that this plant medicine has on our consciousness. And, you know, whatever you can share, either if it's based on your own experience or things that you know to be true, how do these plant medicines impact our consciousness in a way that we can kind of foster our own healing journeys?
Yeah, so this question is interesting, and there's like a lot of rabbit holes that we can kind of dive into as far as like what is consciousness and the hard science behind psilocybin and how it affects the brain. That's definitely not my expertise. Like, Jessica Nielsen is definitely the one to talk to about that. But what I love to see is the different interpretations and the language that people use to dive into a question like that. You know, you have the academics that might explore the neuroscience of what happens to the brain when psilocybin is integrated, and they do that through like research and clinical studies. And then you have the environmentalists or the mycologists that might, you know, tap into the mycelial network and how she interconnects through the world, which really offers that like deep connection to Mother Earth. And there's also the spiritual community that uses medicine to like align with the stars and expand themselves to one unit of being with all that exists. And, you know, according to Big Bang Theory, you know, everything once was a little speck of oneness. So, you know, everyone has their unique way that they relate to psychedelics and integrate those teachings. Like everyone speaks a different language, and the beauty and the advantage of psychedelics are that they can accommodate that language barrier and really translate those core necessary teachings for people.
I absolutely love that perspective, right? Like the ways that we can tie in science and spirituality and just our own lived experiences to really describe the same phenomenon. And it's like whatever is happening in your brain when you take this plant medicine, there are so many ways you can describe it and so many ways you can feel it and go through it. But ultimately it is, you know, the same process, but being able to like see it from all those different perspectives is always so interesting to me, especially like this idea of oneness. So thank you so much for bringing that up. I like absolutely am obsessed with the idea that we are all one. And just out of curiosity, I would love it if you're comfortable, if you could share with us an experience or experiences that you've had with the plant medicine that has led to like epiphanies or breakthroughs that were really healing and transformative for you.
Yeah. So I like to share about my early experiences and how my awakening was pretty intense and really beautiful. I just kind of jumped into this space without any conception of what psychedelics were, no prior research, nothing. I like to think that my spirit kind of remembers that spontaneous deep dive and how it's manifested such a creative reality for me. And like today I tend to like learn and follow that philosophy. So, you know, I started with some pretty potent psychedelic experiences and I didn't have any influence on what that experience would be. I didn't plan out my environment or calculate my dosage. You know, she was raw and natural and free flowing. And that's the energy that I really tried to align with. And it kind of contrasts like my personal tendency towards like critical analyzation, and you got to throw a curveball in there every now and again and mix stuff up. So like today, I wonder how having all of this psychedelic information kind of changes the culture and experience for people. You know, it's like we're trying to domesticate this wild spirit and fit it into this perfect little package to be sold and replicated and tamed, but you know, she's this wild beast and we shouldn't try to suck the challenge and the irregularities out of the experience. You know, everyone wants it to be like super easy and for healing to come naturally. And, you know, she doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, that's so real. I mean, I've especially noticed recently the commodification of mushrooms specifically. Like, you know, you go into Urban Outfitters or like Ragstock, and like these fast fashion brands are selling, you know, clothes with mushrooms on them. Or even like right now, a lot of crystal sellers are selling like mushroom shaped crystals. And I just think it's so interesting how like pop culture is kind of grabbing onto it and making it seem like, oh, this is like the thing to do as a trend. And I kind of wonder what are some of those implications, right? I know one of the conversations you and I have had, we talked about the concept of having a quote unquote bad trip. And I had never really thought about it as like, I kind of want to hear your take on it, because the way that you put it, I had never thought of a bad trip as like a part of the process. Why do you think that when people are having like these bad trips, like what is going on? Is this like shadow work for people, or is this a part of the healing journey? Or does it mean like if you have a bad trip, maybe you just shouldn't be doing shrooms at all, or maybe you shouldn't, you know, maybe this journey isn't for you? What is your take on that? And, you know, you don't have to like give any hard medical advice, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like, you know, like I said earlier, people kind of want it the easy way and they don't like when challenging things come up in an experience. So, you know, it gets perceived as a bad trip, but like, I personally think that the resistance to facing that trauma that surfaces is, in my opinion, what's challenging. And you shouldn't really blame the medicine for that, you know, or even your facilitator if you have one. I do think that sometimes, you know, like facilitators can lead a little bit too much and, you know, infuse themselves into an experience instead of letting the medicine do its thing. But at the end of the day, you know, you are responsible for you. And, you know, yes, we may have guides and support, but just be conscious of who you give your power to, if anyone at all, because that is a very sacred flame and you are its keeper. So that responsibility falls on you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's also really important. Especially because when it comes to like spiritual journeys, and like right now we're seeing a rise in like the spiritual gurus kind of showing people the way or whatever. And it's like spirituality and any kind of inner healing work really is so personal. So there's only so much guidance that you can get from another human being.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that plant medicine, like cannabis, psilocybin, even CBD, which I know is still cannabis, but why do you think that it's been frowned upon in society? And what are some like misconceptions or myths about plant medicine that people have?
Yeah. So I think there is a lot of misinformation and propaganda out there. The other side of having more psychedelic knowledge readily available is that, you know, there is access to proper information and kind of mitigating the harm caused by the war on drugs. One thing that tends to happen is that due to the Schedule I status of a lot of substances, people take shortcuts to make their substances, and they sell it as LSD or sell it as MDMA when it's actually just a designer drug replica meant to mimic the experience. But those drugs like 25i have a lower LD50, which means that you take less of the substance to have a lethal dose, whereas something like LSD has a high LD50. So you can take a lot of LSD and you won't die. Like, there's not that toxicity there. But, you know, people will sell 25i as LSD and give it a bad name. I also think that, you know, folks don't like to lump psychedelics with other drugs like, you know, meth and heroin, which may contribute to that negative perception on them. And then, of course, like I said earlier, like those challenging experiences, I think, also give it a bad name, and people don't like that, you know. But it's not all rainbows and butterflies, you know. There's like with healing, especially, like there are demons and there's dark trails that you wander through. And just because that's not your cup of tea, you know, don't tell me I can't experience what brings me closer to spirit and like guides my personal journey of self-discovery.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you say that, because I'm just thinking like when people have those bad trips, and you were kind of touching on this earlier, and it's like these things are surfacing, and a lot of times it's just resistance to wanting to facing these things, right? That a lot of times we need to heal from anyways. I think that that could definitely be a big part of why society looks down upon this healing journey, right? Because it's not easy. We're so used to the things that are a quick fix and that are just like simple, straight to the point. But a lot of times those things are not healing at the root. A lot of them are just kind of working on the symptoms.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to say that psychedelics kind of shatter your reality so you can rebuild with intention. And, you know, that's something that I personally tried to do with my early experiences and something I try to do today, you know, trying on different selves and integrating what fits and releasing what doesn't, and really searching for self in that most organic form. And, you know, that's a big part of what drives my, my passion in this work is, you know, fighting that fight for everyone's right to do that.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Yes. Shattering your reality to build something better. I'm such a big believer in conscious creation or manifestation. You can call it whatever you want, but a lot of times, like, people think that they want the money or they think that they want the relationship or whatever, but a lot of times what we want is, like, so much more simple. And I wonder in what ways, like, can this psychedelic experience show people their true selves? Like you were saying, like, the things that are truly desires on your heart, as opposed to the things that, you know, society tells us we should be desiring.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely love all of that. Another thing that we kind of talked about too is the concept of medicine and what medicine even means, because originally I asked you about, you know, plant medicine, and you have a kind of a different idea of what medicine could be. And I would love if you could share your take on that.
Yeah. So for me, I try, like you said, to practice the simple things that really just make life a lot more enjoyable. Like, not to use like a consumer analogy, but they say to, like, invest in the basics and what we wear every day, like a really good quality t-shirt and jeans that gets worn more often, like, versus, you know, a really fancy dress that you wear to one occasion. For me, like, medicine is practicing, like, good friendship, being a good wife, and learning about motherhood. I'm a nanny, so I get a lot of good practice at, like, mothering. I practice meditation through art and nature walks. I practice, like, soothing my social anxiety by actually being social and facing that and trying, even though, like, I might feel uncomfortable. I decorate my body with tattoo medicine and meditate through that morphing process. You know, you can really find medicinal value in anything. It's really the intentionality behind what you do that's healing, and you really just have to find what makes life enjoyable and how to make that sustainable. And I think that is something that is constantly evolving. So it's good to take that reflection every now and again and make sure that you're in alignment with that true happiness.
I appreciate that too, because on the flip side of that, right? If anything can be medicine, really anything can also be poison too, right? So if you're overusing or abusing anything, it doesn't even have to be plant medicine. It could be, you know, too much screen time. It could be, you know, becoming obsessed with meditation to the point where you're not even in the 3D world anymore. You know, I wonder if you have any insight or advice for listeners around, you know, finding that balance between this is medicine and then this is maybe numbing me or harming me in some way.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And it also brings me back to kind of the question you had earlier about, like, the misconceptions. And one of the biggest things is, like, addiction with drug culture, you know? People get really worried about addiction and being dependent on something. But you can be addicted to anything. Like you just said, you know, it could be sugar. Too much sugar can have, you know, negative effects on, like, your body, your mentality, all of that. And I feel like the biggest thing that psychedelics do for me is kind of having that conversation with yourself. You know, it allows you to go as inward as you want to go, and kind of explore, like, what are those poisons? What are those things that bring you joy, and really bring them out, and allows you to have that interface with it. Yeah, I think that comes from, like, meditation and really knowing yourself, and exploring yourself, and being conscious in your everyday walk of life. And I think that's the best way to understand what is a poison and what is happiness for you.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. So I also kind of want to go back a little bit when we were talking about shattering your reality and building something better for yourself. In what ways, in your experience, were parts of reality that you were like, you know what, this is not serving me? Or, you know, like, even though everybody is doing this thing, you know, maybe it's the college to 9-to-5 pipeline or whatever it might be, in what ways did you have to shatter your reality to consciously create a life for yourself?
Yeah. I can say that, like, in my early days, like coming out of high school, another confusing thing is kind of like experimenting early on. It was kind of like hard to decipher what revelations are just me morphing into adulthood and what revelations are kind of tapping into, you know, the divine and earth and that universal connection. So that's kind of an interesting thing that I reflect on. But in those early times, a lot of things were about my vessel and my body and that physical identity and how this body presents to the world. And like being biracial, I had to kind of dig a little bit deep into that and like my racial identity and do a lot of healing work with that. So I think in that way, there was shattering of my reality and kind of rebuilding myself and my understanding and my understanding of self-worth, that I had to do. And yeah, I think just me, my understanding of myself and my relationship to the world and how I want to navigate space. I think everything just kind of, you bring everything into question. So, you know, there's a lot in this world and a lot that comes into those questions. And I tried to explore as many of them as possible. And yeah, I guess that was kind of my experience with that.
I love that. And, you know, even outside of, you know, just psychedelic experiences, I'll say that for me within the past year, I've had to have some moments where I just like get really real with myself and I'm like, okay, these things are not working. I have to face them, name them first, and then kind of get rid of them before I can actually start building on the things that I do want more of. And so I think that's incredibly valuable if there are more avenues for people to make that discovery for themselves. And if psychedelics can be a way for someone, then I'm here for it. One of my last questions that I have for you is if people want to start experimenting with psilocybin, what are some tips? Like if you had like a toolkit for people their first time, like what should they know? How much water should they have on them? I don't know. Like what are the steps and the precautions they should take?
Yeah. So some of the go-to things as far as like having your first experience would be your setting, your environment. Make sure that you are in good company. If you are around anyone at all, you know, someone that you're really comfortable being vulnerable around and releasing. Sometimes when we're around people that we are not as familiar with or comfortable with, there can be that resistance that comes into play and it can be hard to fully release. And so your body and your spirit kind of has that back and forth of wanting to hold onto control and fully releasing. And that can create kind of some uncomfortability. Definitely water. You know, I like to have a little bit of fruit or some fresh juice around. Always have a chapstick on hand. You know, that's just like a life tip, not just psychedelics.
Right. It can't be crusty out here.
And, you know, I personally create a little nest if I'm inside. That's how I kind of like to come up, create my comfortable space with a lot of pillows and blankets and, you know, my cats around me. I venture outside and cocoon in my hammock. But yeah, a lot of my experiences tend to be individual and one-on-one with myself. So I guess that would be my tip. You know, some people get pretty plan oriented around experiences and, you know, I think jumping into things spontaneously on a beautiful day is nice too. You know, you don't have to plan and control and try to create the perfect experience, because, you know, sometimes that build of expectation can create an uncomfortable experience if it doesn't go exactly your way. So I think it's a good practice to kind of like release some of those things. And I think the medicine definitely soothes and helps that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing and coming on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And where can folks find you if they want to learn more about Big Psych, or if they're local to the Twin Cities and they want to come to an open mic?
Yeah. So right now we host an open mic the first Sunday of every month from 6 to 10 at New Rules in North Minneapolis. We have our second annual psychedelic symposium coming up on August 13th to 14th. Super excited about that. And you can stay up to date with us on Instagram at big.psych. That's kind of where we do all of our updates and info on events and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Amazing. And I'll be sure to put all of that information in the show notes for folks. Otherwise, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, that is a wrap on today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please message me on Instagram or shoot me an email, something. I want to know your thoughts. What are your experiences with plant medicine, psychedelics? Do you hate them? Do you love them? Is it somewhere in between? All of that. I definitely want to hear what your take is. Also, if you are local to the Twin Cities, Big Psych is hosting a psychedelic symposium on August 13th and 14th. It is a 2-day event, and your girl Yez is going to be hosting a workshop there on tapping. So get your tickets now. Don't wait until the last minute. You've got about a month to rearrange your schedule. Make sure that you make it to this awesome event with an awesome community of people. And I cannot wait. Anyways, stay connected with me, follow me on social, all of that stuff. You know where all of the info is. It's in the show notes, as always. You guys, take care, and we will be back soon with another episode. Bye.